Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to TNTS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I really don't know what is happening with Blog Talk, but I'm going to try to find out as quickly as possible. We are back live for the first time in almost 2 months. So let me see if I can get some things squared away here. I can't see anybody on the board, so let me see if I can refresh the screen or refresh the page. This is very interesting for me. And so let me work on it. My co-host, Janet Davis, is scheduled to be on the board, but right now the board is blank. That's interesting. Why is the board blank? I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to refresh everything and see what the heck is going on. So, you guys, please bear with me. Let me see if I can get on the air. I'm hoping you can even hear me at this point in time. Because I called into the board. So I'm trying to refresh it again. Let's see if we come up. Let me take a look at the chat room. Not seeing nothing there either. Okay, hold on a minute. Something's changing up here. So maybe it's going to give me something to work with. Okay, now I can see the board. Now I can see everybody. Oh, okay. So I guess you guys can hear me now. Now I can see the numbers that are here. Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. I thought I was going to have a nervous breakdown for a minute there, you guys. Seriously. Really thought I was going to have one. So I'm going to start opening up mics momentarily. So bear with me, all right, as I work on getting everything in order so that we don't have this type of issue throughout the show. Wow, I've never dealt with this. Okay, we're going to be momentarily, okay, so bear with me. All right, I see you guys here. All right. Almost there. All right, so let's get it jumping. Let's get it started. I see my co-host Janet Davis is here. I see a couple other callers here. So let's get it started. I'm going to start with my regular long intro. Shit don't change all the time here. You know, we keep things in the way that we normally do. So if you can hear me and you understand, I'm going to do this. We'll be right back. See if it works. All right, good evening, and welcome to the TMGS on the TMGN. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And, I've had some issues with Blog Talk before, but I never had one like this, but I'll get into that a little bit later. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is our first broadcast in almost 2 months, I think. Yeah, about 2 months, and I'm happy to be back on air, to be honest, and I'm happy for the support of each and every one that are in the internet radio world that I talk with, that I work with, I converse with, and just so much, support and love for us to come back. So without further ado, I have to open up the mic to my one and only, the perfect person that I've got to support from the beginning, even up to this point, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Dave. Happy Saturday, Jen. How you doing?
You almost didn't have me because I'm trying to figure out after that long music, we had to play the intro, Michael.
I had to make sure it worked. To be honest, we've been off air for almost 2 months. And the thing is that word, I got that whole blessing and was able to get started this Saturday instead of next Saturday, because I said November. But so we got this Saturday going, and, it was just where Blog Talk just takes their time to get you back on board. Obviously, that's what it seems like, what had occurred. And I'm serious. I mean, it was just taking so long for Blog Talk to come up. It wasn't anything else. It was just for the screen to come up. I could go to anything else, it come up immediately. The Blog Talk was like, so you're coming back, huh? Well, we're going to make you wait a little bit, process your whole information and everything. But you've been gone for a minute.
But when you were on, you didn't realize you were on.
Well, no, because the screen was blank. I didn't see your numbers. I didn't see nothing. I didn't see the music. I didn't see the board at all. It was just, what I'm saying, okay? It was the Blog Talk screen, but the information wasn't there. That was so freaky to me. It was like, okay, I'm seeing where stuff's supposed to be, but shit, it ain't there. I'm not seeing the music board. I'm not seeing the audio clip. I'm not seeing the callers in. But I see all the little icons that tell me where they're supposed to be. That's what I was experiencing. And I said, okay, let me try this again. All right, so that's what I did.
I accidentally text my son and said, what's wrong?
And he called you and said, why are you asking me? Right, stuff like that happens, right. And I was way ahead of time. I was like, what the heck is going on? And I'm thinking it's my laptops and everything. In fact, I even went to my second one. I started to bring that one up. I got two laptops, right? I started to bring that one up. I said, no, it can't be my equipment. But it was, I guess, it's like a reset. But without further ado, I want to say, hey, you guys, I am so thankful, so honored that we're back on air. I just want to briefly share with folks that didn't know while we're off air. There was an incident that happened. My home caught on fire. Okay, so, I had to deal with that whole thing, and I had to shut down the show for a while. This shit ain't free. So I had to look at what I had to do, right? And but I definitely wanted to come back. Janet and I have talked about it. We've debated about it. We've argued about it, but see that we're here. Because this is what we enjoy and we love to do. And so thanks for all the support from each and every one of you, even other networks, even Kings in the Morning, some individuals, I ain't going to say all, but some gave support. Of course, Real and Raw, the support got from them, and other shows, Six Eyes Radio Network, it's all a radio family network. We don't all do the same thing, and that's what makes us all unique and different, but we all support, each other in every way possible, because we've all come from the same, I guess you could say, the same stable in a sense. We all, have experiences with each other. So I'm thankful for all that. And I don't want to speak too much on that, but yeah, it's been an interesting journey, and I'm thankful. And earlier today, I was on another show, and just saying, you know, be thankful for what you get or what you deal with every day and survive through every day. So I'm very much thankful. All right. So as you guys know, some things never change. You know, with our show, we always try to get through the political stuff first before we get into the, you know, the other things that are on the table. We've lost out on a lot of topics that we could have been talking about over the past 2 months. But we're going to look at what's been happening and what's ongoing in the political field. And, wow. Okay, so 3 weeks, was it? It took to get a speaker for the House? 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks to get a speaker for the for because without a speaker, and correct if I'm wrong, Janet, you don't have a speaker. Some laws can't be passed, right? They can't vote unless there's a person that's, you know, they had an interim one, but he really couldn't, you know, be official. And would that have been legal or would that have been okay for him to speak on behalf of the public or approve that? I think that was an issue there. They had to have an actual voted in one on the Republican side. And the Republicans were having a hard time. Here they had, what's his name, Jordan. And this is a guy who is like far, far right. Why did they even consider him? I don't know. Knowing he
wasn't considered himself. He considered himself. And Trump backed him. But it didn't work out. Yeah.
Okay, so the question is this. Why waste the taxpayers' money? Because we pay them, right? Everybody that works in this political field gets paid by who? Taxpayers. So why are we going through 3 weeks of paying folks for stuff that ain't going to happen? Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, first of all, the first speaker, McCarthy, should have never agreed to the conditions that a few select few put it, you know, put in place. And they were just waiting for him to do something that would cause them to want to get rid of him, you know, get him out of from being speaker. And so the minute they passed a bill that was bipartisan, then they were Gates wanted him out.
They dumped him. They dumped him, right? That's just the bottom line. They dumped him, right? He did something that they didn't want him to do. Okay, so now here's the crazy thing. So you get voted to be the speaker, but if you do this, and as you just said, but we have the right to go ahead and dump you. Now, Hold on a minute. I'm making a statement and asking you a question at the same time. But what he did, he took sides with the Democrats to not have the, you know, the House shut down. Am I right or wrong?
Correct.
He agreed with them in order for the House to not shut down. So had the House shut down, what would have happened? And just explain to the listeners, what would have happened if the House had shut down? What kind of a ripple effect would it have on American taxpayers, American individuals who serve in office or any kind of a federal type thing? What kind of ripple effect would that have had he not, or had he went ahead and let the House shut down or the government?
A lot of people who work for the federal government, well, the same effect that you saw where they didn't have a speaker for the 3 weeks, but the thing, but what would have happened was a lot of people who work for the federal government wouldn't have been getting paid. Checks would have been stopping. And that's not fair to people who, you know, and then some of the federal employees have a reserve so it's not as bad for them. They can probably still work for a few more weeks, you know, but then you have some that don't have that reserve, and they depend on that paycheck, you know. So that's what, you know, but McCarthy did a bipartisan thing, and then he tried to say it was the Democrats' fault. So when he needed them, they didn't want, they didn't help him, because he you might as well say gave him a blatant slap in the face. How are you going to keep helping somebody? You know, because they could have helped him stay in office if they had voted him in, but they didn't vote because he said it was their fault, you know? So it was just a, it was just a crazy thing that transpired for these 3 weeks, and it's no better. I mean, the one they have in now, Johnson, I guess that's his name. I don't know. He's supposed to be more of an evangelical type person, but he is far right.
Okay, so let me intervene for a minute. Yes, I watched when the gavel was passed over to him. I heard his speech. Of course, the Democrat minority individual made a rousing speech prior to handing over the gavel, and did it in a respectful manner. Had that been one of the Trump family members, it probably would have been totally different, but we'll get into the Trumps later on. But, you know, but 3 weeks of taxpayers' dollars, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars spent on all this stuff for them to decide who they trust among their own party. That's what I'm saying, among their own party. And that's what makes people really turned off about politics. That's what makes people really upset with politicians. What pisses me off is that the fact that, hey, you know, you're getting paid from my tax dollars.
You know
you're
what,
not really working for me.
What people fail to realize, the person they have in place now, he was one of the ones who didn't want Biden to be voted in as president of the United States. And now we got somebody who can actually overturn an election if it's not going to be an all-out war. If it don't
let's look at this. Okay, so now we already know that we finally got a Speaker of the House. Okay, it took 3 weeks. Now let's look at something else. Not just that, but what I want to change the gears on, still in politics. Let's look at the fact that Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, is dealing with all these different cases, right? He has been slapped with a gag order penalty twice, okay? At what point do you think a judge would say, you know what, lock his ass up? In less than a week, Donald Trump has went against the gag order, right? He had to pay, what was it, $5,000 the first time? Second time,
yeah,
it was $10,000. And now if he does it again,
right,
is it
going to
be all about the money? Or will it? No, but what I'm saying is this. Hold on. I'm asking a question, and I'm going to shut up and let you give your opinion. This man, obviously Donald Trump does have money. He ain't broke. He's probably lied about how much money he has, which we already know that. That's how he's going through the court cases of his lying about what his actual worth is. This and the other. Mind you, this is the first president who decided he will not share his information regarding his, you know, his money. And now that's why he's dealing with this. Thing is, what I'm saying, twice already within a week or two, less than 2 weeks, he's been levied a fine. Do you think that the judge will actually consider putting Donald Trump behind bars if he does this again the way that he's doing? Do you really think he would do that?
I don't think this judge is playing, and he already has forewarned him. He doesn't want somebody in his office or that work for him to get harmed. And they know when Trump says certain things, he like Cohen says, he speaks in code. You got people out there wanting to harm others because they, you know, they're going after him. Mm-hmm. And he had told him not to talk about the secretary. He tried to say it was Cohen, but the judge knew who it was. That's why he did what he did. Now, if he does it again, he might end up spending a day in jail to prove a point. I don't know for how long, but I knew he might end up getting locked up.
That would be
interesting.
Nothing
else seems to be working.
That would be interesting to see. I'm serious. And I'm wondering if Donald Trump is really willing to take that risk for, you know, to keep, you know, going against the rules. I mean, this is what this guy has been known to do, you guys. You know that. This is not new. He's always going against the grain, against the rules, against the laws and everything, and wants to change it in his favor. But you can't do that. I mean, I wish I could. I wish I could turn around and tell an officer, no, you can't write me a ticket because I don't deserve one. You know, just by saying that, and the officer say, you know, you're right. You don't deserve one. I don't know what I was thinking. It's like, really? And this is the front runner for the Republican Party. This is the front runner. That just blows my mind, Janet. It really does. Now, more on the political tip. Here's something that just dropped. Pence just removed himself from the race. He decided not to run against Donald Trump or for the Republican Party. I don't know why anybody's even running, to be honest. I mean, what's the same?
You say you don't know why what?
I don't know why any of these other individuals, so-called candidates, are running against Donald Trump. I don't know why. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, there's folks who think that even if Donald Trump is found guilty of the crimes, he can still be president of the United States. There's folks who are thinking that now. Still think he can still be the president. But the thing is that what I'm looking at also is that where when he has over 50% of the Republican Party supporting him, regardless of what he's being, indicted and what he's in court for, why would you even try? Are you hoping he's going to be found guilty? And then maybe there's going to be an open lane for you and all those Trump supporters are going to say, well, Donald Trump was found guilty. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Haley. I'm going to go with, DeSantis. I'm going to go with whoever else there because Donald Trump looked like he might do some jail time. I mean, is that what they're still running for in the hopes Donald Trump is actually going to be in trouble to where he can't actually be president?
I think they're interviewing to be vice president because they know that the MAGA crowd is not going to actually vote them in for president of the United States. So I actually feel most of them are is like interviewing like Barr did, got on TV and talked, and Donald Trump liked him. And so, you know, he's looking for a new vice president. It sure won't be Pence. You know, so.
Well, Pence just backed out. Pence just backed out of the race, according to the article I just saw.
He's not going to call him for vice president again because he didn't do what he wanted him to do.
True, but what I found interesting is what you just said, that they're interviewing to be vice president for who? The former president who is on trial for many cases, or maybe secondary one. Are you thinking that Donald Trump will actually, if he were to win, even with all this stuff, you think that he could actually? I won't say were to win, but
they say there's nothing in writing saying that he cannot, even from jail, run for president of the United States. So they need to implement a new law to keep that from happening. it probably won't be for this election, but in the future, they need to rewrite the way who is running for president, you know, because you got to have to be able to pass the ethics. I mean, why would I wouldn't vote for somebody that I know is trying to turn the country into an autocrat country, and he already said what he's going to do, you know? So
all right,
you
so,
don't
so,
miss
so,
your water till the so, well me, runs dry. That's that old saying. They
let
don't
me get
miss
this
it.
Correct. Let me get this correct. So what you're telling me, that even if Donald Trump is found guilty of all these charges, and is put behind bars, he can still be elected the president of the United States, even if he's behind bars, which that would
that's
be considered
what people
a
are
felon.
Saying.
That's what people are saying, or is that a fact?
I mean, they said there's nothing in writing saying it can't happen.
Mm.
You know?
Okay,
so
you guys that are listening, so for all you folks that are listening, I want you all to do your research, go back and look and see what does it say. I mean, there's so many constitutions, there's so much in the Constitution, so much about the law. That is an interesting thing, is that where even if he's found guilty, can he really be elected president and be considered the president? Even if he's behind bars, is that really possible? Because according to what Jackson said, where there's nothing in writing, if that's not possible. So I don't know. I have to take a look at that. I really have to research that because that would be crazy. That's like
wait a minute.
John
Gotti. I just Googled it. It says there are no limitations based on character or criminal record where some states prohibit felons from running for a local office or even president of the United States.
I kind of thought that was the situation, but I was like, there's no way that he could, you know, be convicted and still hold office. I think that's Section 14 is that what that was written.
The only requirement it is to be president is to be a natural born citizen of the United States, to be at least 35 years old, and to be a resident of the United States
of the
for
United States.
14
yeah,
years.
That part, but
that's
think,
the
but
only requirement.
I think in Section 14, it speaks on as far as you, let's say, for instance, if you break the law or whatever as a person in office. But Section 14, I think, is what actually speaks on that and how that works. I'll have to do that or go through that again, and we go ahead and
One more thing. Uh-huh. Even if charged, convicted, and incarcerated, it says Trump can still be president.
Okay. We'll have to really look at that again.
Well, look at it.
The
truth.
We'll have to. But right now, we're not going to do it on this show because we got other stuff that we have to talk about. So now, recently, what we found out, and I want to get through the political stuff first, as you know, we always do. Let's finish with the Trump family. The prosecutor has really pushed the timeline forward for the Trump family to give their, you know, to testify. He's got all the kids coming up, the first, the second, and the third, I believe, of this coming month. He has ordered that Trump Jr., Eric, and the daughter that whose daddy loves to put his hands on all the time and rub and everything. In fact, I've seen him put his hands on his daughter more than I've seen him do his wife. Ain't that sad? I'm just saying. Okay? Around her hips or waist and everything. Never seen him do that with his wife. That's just my opinion. But they have to go to court the first of this coming month. And then Donald Trump is scheduled for the sixth. They will have to testify under oath. Under oath. What do you think the chances are that they will slip up and make a false statement or whatever, or maybe tell the truth and actually get their father in trouble for telling the truth. Because this could go either way. We don't know what the questions are going to be and everything, but it could go either way here. What's your thoughts on this? You're talking about three of his kids got to testify.
I feel like they have to tell the truth. First of all, the CFO, Weisenberg, has to tell the truth or he's going to serve his whole time. And you have Cohen who just testified. You have other lawyers that's going to have to testify. You got people from banks who knew that Trump was fudging the numbers. Is probably going to testify. So they already got the goods. They got to tell the truth. They don't want to go to
what
jail.
But what about the thing where I plead the fifth? So let's say some of the questions come and be like, well, I'm going to plead the fifth in order to keep myself.
Well, like Trump said, you're guilty if you plead the fifth.
Hold on, Janet. Let me finish the question. I plead the fifth in order to not incriminate myself because it's something that you're asking a question about that could incriminate me. Donald Trump did plead the fifth a few times in the first part of this whole thing. So what if the kids do the same thing? Say, well, I plead the fifth. How much leeway does the prosecutor have in order to have the judge force them to answer or allow them their rights to plead the fifth in order to not incriminate themselves?
So, Michael, that means you're guilty. It means you're guilty. If you don't get up there and tell the truth and you plead the fifth, then they know you're guilty. It means you're guilty.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Why would you plead the fifth if you don't want to incriminate yourself? That means you're guilty.
No, Janet, it does not mean that you're guilty. Pleading the
fifth. Okay, so why would you plead the fifth? Why would you plead the fifth?
Well, you know what? Okay, but hold on a minute. All right, you're cutting me off. Donald Trump even said, anyone who pleads the fifth is considered guilty. He said that before all this stuff happened, right? And see, he pleads the fifth. Now everybody says, well, he's guilty. Okay. But no, pleading the fifth does not mean you're guilty. You choose to not to make a comment based on something that can make you seem guilty or part of it. Pleading the fifth is just saying, I don't want to respond. It doesn't say that you're guilty. It's just that I don't want to respond. And now we have to look at the law based on what it says.
Okay, listen.
You know,
with
but
this
you cannot. Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish since I'm trying to finish my point.
I said, with this case, it is just the judge who's going to make the final decision. There's no jury who's going to weigh the pros and the cons. It's going to be the judge. So they can be stupid enough to get up there and plead the fifth. That means that Donald Trump, they're going to lose. Plead the fifth. You're going to lose.
Okay.
Because the judge is the one that's going to make the final decision. Like I said, there's no jury.
I know that. I know that the judge will make the final decision. We all know that. I mean,
there's no jury, Michael.
Jury trial,
so
I know there's no jury, Janet. You don't have to say it three or four times. I know that. It is up to the judge. Right. You are correct. But the thing is that where pleading the fifth does not make you guilty, though. In all honesty, it really don't. All it is that it's not giving the opportunity for the prosecution to come and redirect at you or to come back in a rebuttal and say, well, he pleaded the fifth. Well, they can say you pleaded the fifth because the thing is that where I'm not going to make a statement that I don't feel comfortable about based on this and the other. You know, because when you're on the witness stand, you know, and you're being questioned by the prosecutors and everything, you can plead the fifth. That is your right to do so because you do not want to say anything that can, remember, incriminate yourself. It's It's not saying that you did something wrong. It's that I don't want to make a statement.
I'm not finished.
Janet, let me finish. And I'll let you speak.
I'm going to hang up.
By pleading the fifth, okay, I'm just saying, by pleading the fifth does not mean you're guilty, though. It's saying I don't want to make a statement that will incriminate myself to where the prosecutor can come back and take what I said and use it against me by saying, hey, I plead the fifth. I don't want to answer that question. Doesn't make you guilty at all. Now, if a jury or a judge looks at it where, well, if you don't want to answer that question, I have questions in my mind why you don't want to answer that. See, that's the way you have to look at it. You have to look at it what the individual who is, as you just said, that there's no jury in this trial. So it's up to that judge to decide whether that individual decides to plead the fifth. Are they lying or are they guilty of it? Not necessarily so. But it's up to that individual or that jury trial to say, well, he pleads the fifth, and I have a feeling that he knows more and he's not sharing. But that doesn't mean that you're guilty, Janet. Not at all. That's one thing
Michael,
I do agree with.
Michael, anybody who knows, who lived in New York or in New Jersey, know Donald Trump, knows what Donald Trump is about.
It's already known throughout the world. Yeah, you're right. The folks that who've been around his area, around his businesses, yes, you if you lived in New York or New Jersey where he's done his businesses and everything, you know. If you worked for the contractors that, you know, worked on his businesses and they never got paid, yes, they know. They suffered. I understand that. There's a lot of companies that work under Donald Trump for his, not just New York, New Jersey, Atlantic City, you know, you look at casinos
that's
and everything. Well, okay. Yeah, but still, again, I'm just narrowing it down, you know, where he faulted on all that, you know. So, yeah, people up there knows his business dealings more so than most folks throughout the country. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, because a lot of people just look at their
friends. Well, the thing is, like I said, that was just a TV show. You know, he got paid for that. He got the recognition for that. I used to watch the show, as I said. I used to watch it. But now when I started doing the research of what kind of businessman he really was and how many people he left in the bag and how many times he filed bankruptcy and everything, no, to me, he's not a good businessman, but some people think he is based on a freaking TV show. All right, so let's move forward. I think that it's going to be interesting seeing that the kids are actually, you know, have been subpoenaed to testify. And I think this is going to be really a turning point of hearing what both sons and daughter have to say about, you know, the whole thing with the Trump organization. We're not talking about the election thing, just the organization part of it, and the money involved in that and all that type of stuff. I think that's going to really open up a lot of Pandora's boxes, I guess I can say, of what's going to actually probably spill into the other cases. I mean, who do you know that has 4 indictments, different states, 90-plus counts on the planet Earth? I mean, who? Let alone a former president. Who do you know? I don't know anybody that has any kind of indictment like this. But people are like, we love Donald. Donald's the one. We love Donald. Okay. If you're that ignorant. I'm a patriot. I love America. You love America? You love American laws? Okay, but you want to benefit from this one former president who had a history of criminal things, illegal things, I should say, before he became president, him and his dad. But you still believe in what he's doing. And you still believe, oh, they're just attacking Donald Trump. Come on, y'all. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh, wait a minute, Janet. Hold on. I got a phone call coming in. Hold on a minute. It says Russia. Janet, I'm getting a phone call from Russia.
Uh-huh.
You hear me? Hold on. A minute. It's Vladimir Putin, Janet. Hold on a minute. Hey, Vladdy, how you doing, man? Hello, Miguel. How are you? Miguel? What? Vladdy, what did you say? How are you, Miguel? I'm fine, Vladdy. How are you? I must tell you this, is that where Donald Trump is a stupid former president of the United States of America. Now, Vladdy, why would you say that? Because I gave him my book. I gave him my book, and he should have read my book. My book was about how to be the best dictator in the world, and he never read it. Vladdy, you gave him a book of how to be. Yes, I did. I gave him a book how to be the best dictator in the world. I even sent him, I sent Donald Trump, even individuals who were tutors on how to be the best dictator in the world. Wow, Lottie, you sent tutors. So who are the tutors that you sent? My oligarchs. I always send my oligarchs to dictate to Donald Trump how to be the best dictator in the world. Okay, Lottie. So he didn't read your book at all? No, he did not. Did not, and I'm not happy with this war thing that's going on. I'm not winning the way I wanted to. And then now the thing in Gaza with Israel, everything is taking the attention off the war I have with Ukraine. I want to be a big star over what I'm doing. I'm sorry that you're disappointed, man, but it's kind of sad what's going on. You know, folks ain't happy with all this stuff. Donald Trump is mad because I did not agree that he won the election. Oh, you did? No, I did not agree. The Russian people know I did not agree. In fact, the Russian people know to not disagree with me because I am the dictator. They must agree with everything I say. Yeah, well, we know that, Vladdy. Stop calling me Vladdy. It's Vladimir. Oh, sorry, Mr. Putin. Okay. Janet, do you have a question for Vladdy while he's on the line? Janet, you there? Vladdy's waiting for your question.
I said,
well, Vladdy,
hell
I
no.
Oh, okay. So, Vladdy, Janet, you know, she's been my co-host for all these years, and you know, we really appreciate you calling in to the show. I mean, this is a really a big surprise, but you know, we didn't know about, you know, that you wrote a book and gave it to Donald Trump. I thought that she might have had a question for you, but she said, hell no. Body, I mean, are you okay with that or what? Dear Miss Janet, to do not really, I'm fine with her not asking the genius of myself any questions about my genius. But I will tell you again, that Donald Trump will never, he had a school, and he never, never knew how to run the school. I had a school of how to be the best dictator in the world. Okay, Vladdy, you already told us that. You can buy my book again. It's on Amazon. Okay, Vladdy, we thank you. Feel free to chime in anytime you want to. Vladimir Putin, we appreciate the call. You're very welcome. Now let me get back to making my people's lives miserable. Okay, go ahead, sir. Thank you for calling. Bye. All right. That was a phone call from Vladimir Putin. We appreciate you, Vladdy, for calling in. So what do you think what's happening? I'm thankful that he called in, but here's the Ukraine war going on, and now we have the Gaza and Israel war going on. You know, is America being, you know, pulled on both sides now, trying to support both, you know, wars that are going on for support?
Well, the new speaker says he has to take care of Israel first, and then he'll worry about Ukraine. That's what the new speaker said.
Interesting. I've heard that conversation. Israel is priority now, even though the war between Gaza and Israel or the Palestinians started just recently. But it seems like now they're saying, okay, well, we're going to take care of Israel. And now they have so much time to vote on the money it will take for both the military, right? How much money is going to go to Israel? How much money is going to go to Ukraine? They have to really do that really soon. Let's say before the end of this coming month, if not earlier. How do you think that's going to turn out, though? Do you really think they're going to be able to figure this out before they all decide, yeah, well, let's go on vacation, as they normally do?
Well, Biden already told Johnson and Jeffries what he requested, $106 billion just for Israel, Ukraine, and other national security needs. So the total amount he's requesting in the new budget is $106 billion. Will he get it?
For
I
both.
Don't know. But
when
if they bring it to the floor for a vote, I'm quite sure he'll probably get it. He's been getting it.
But I've seen where there's some Republicans that said they don't want a total package of both, where there's a certain amount. They want separate packages. They don't want to vote on, you know, this large amount and just throw it into the basket. There's some that's saying, well, there's too much, the other option, too much going to Ukraine, not enough going to Israel.
They failed to realize that a lot of equipment that they had in the reserve have gone already to Ukraine, and is probably helping Israel. So what he's requesting is just to backfill, because he wants America to be ready. You're not going to be ready if you don't have the right proper amount of equipment.
True. Yeah. I'm sorry if you hear some noise in the background. Okay, but if you don't have the right amount of equipment, true enough, but things that where you look at all the money that's being spent, there are people who are very much against, as we already know, of the money being spent for Ukraine. What's your thoughts? Do you think that we should continue to support Ukraine on the level that we have been? Because, see, like I told folks that when I remember that, you know, Ukraine is, I mean, if we don't support them, we have to look at any allies. Granted, Ukraine was not part of the NATO, and that was a discussion. Remember, we had that about them being part of NATO because they had some issues with their their rights for their citizens, I think. But when you have countries that we have to look at that are our allies, we can't turn our backs on them, because that's when other countries are able to come forward.
You can't turn your back on Ukraine because there's other countries around Ukraine that's part of NATO, and
that's what I was just saying. Excuse me. That's exactly what I was saying. I was saying that's the thing, is that we can't afford some folks. I'm trying to explain to you that people say, why are we sending all this money to Ukraine? They're saying, that's what I was saying, is that you have to remember that there are countries next door to Ukraine that are part of NATO, that if we allow Russia to take control of that, then that is letting our the neighboring countries down, because that gives Russia more opportunity to be right next door. That's what I've been saying. And that's
but
not a comfortable
next
position
door,
to be
but in. They don't want Russia to think he can go and invade other countries.
Right. It's the same thing. Right next door, you can invade. Just like if I'm a thief and I move next door to you and you know that I have a criminal record, you're going to be in fear that I might break into your house. Same difference, Janet. That's all I'm saying. So I'm not saying you. I'm just saying that. But what do you think about the people who feel like we should not be helping out Ukraine, seeing the fact that if we weren't doing so, and Russia was able to take over that area, how close they could be to our allies and invade our allies, which could be a national security issue for the United States.
The ones who don't care are the ones that want a United States to be an autocrat country themselves, you know?
Okay.
And our democracy is hanging on a thread right now. People got to get out to vote.
Does voting really matter at this point in time?
Yes,
so,
voting matters. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm asking. I know in your opinion it does, but to a lot of folks I talk to every day, they're like, you know, there's young folks who say, I don't vote.
They think
your
vote
don't
count.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you said the vote doesn't count.
How do you make a change? Standing back and not doing anything or being proactive?
Okay, so I'll try to ask again. When you got a former president who was going to trial, who tried to flip a vote, who says that, you know, the 2020 election was fraud and everything, and there are people who believe in that, how does a vote really count if you got people who are saying that votes don't count if they don't win? Think about it. This is a former president.
I already know what I had to say.
No, I'm asking, but how do you get folks to believe that votes count if you got a person saying votes don't count because they don't win? How do you battle that argument? I'm just asking, do you have an answer?
I just said it. I'm not going to repeat. I already said what I had to say.
You said go out and vote, right?
I said no. What did I say about being proactive? Those who say my vote don't count, it don't make any difference. Yeah, your vote don't count because you didn't get out to vote. How do you know it's not going to count? The reason why Biden is office right now is because people got out and voted to keep from having Trump back in. That's why they had the insurrection. How are you going to overturn something when you know yourself you didn't win? Trump at 10:30 wanted to call the election.
Right.
I remember that well.
Right, I do too. He wanted to change the rules. He thought that he could do that because he was the president at the time.
I already won. Yeah, I won. Yeah, uh-huh. And you got votes that still got to be counted when you say you won. Then I go to bed and I wake up in the morning and what happened? You lost. That's what happened. There was no cheating.
Interesting point. No, I understand what you're saying.
If I had to get out and campaign and do whatever to make things so that our person who's going to be that we're supposed to be supporting, if I have to get out there and walk and campaign and go and be a poll person or whatever, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to keep our democracy intact.
Well, I agree with you, Janet. I'm not debating with you, but I'm just asking the questions, which I always do. You know, I'm asking questions because there are many folks, you know, that look at it where, okay, I'm not going to vote anymore, especially young kids that look at, they don't want to vote anymore. They don't believe in the elections, but then that
they
leaves it open.
They said going to be voting in full
that
force,
leaves,
so I don't know.
Let me finish. Let me finish, please. They don't believe in elections. They don't believe in the politicians. They don't believe in what's being told. What do you think? And all honesty, and for you folks that are listening on the internet, you're welcome to call into the show. The number is 516-531-9861, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, and you can actually join the chat room, type in your questions or comments. I will read them on the air. And again, we're glad to be back. This is our first show back in almost 2 months, so we're glad to be back discussing some of the topics that we missed on and some that are going on. And it's a little bit after the 7 o'clock hour. I know we've been talking about politics, but we're going to get into some other things. We're going to talk about a few things regarding the passing of a legendary actor shortly, Mr. Richard Roundtree. And we're going to talk about Halloween. All right. So before we do that, we're going to close out this conversation regarding politics. As I said earlier, I mean, here's where the judges ruled that the Trump siblings have got to come and testify like next week. What do you envision that outcome to be? Because, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be, is this behind closed doors? Is this going to be on television? I don't know. But what do you think is going to happen in the first week of next month? Do you think that they're going to plead the fifth? Do you think that, you know, one of them might go ahead and just go ahead and testify against daddy? Or, you know, I mean, what do you
think? They might ask for clemency. You don't never know. You never know. But just like when Trump asked his daughter and Jared if he would help them, and they declined. When he wanted to run again, they declined.
Well, it's going to be interesting for sure, you guys. The Trump family will have to testify this week. Wow. That's going to be interesting. I mean, a daughter and both sons.
Look at the lawyers who pled guilty so far, Michael.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Chesbro, Ellis, Powell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They got a deal.
And he said that they're cowards, or most of them are cowards, I think, is what he claims to be.
Maybe he should have paid some of Jenna Ellis' legal fees, and she wouldn't have been trying to plead guilty. She's not going down with the ship.
That's true. She's not. And that's a good move, not do so.
And they said they gave Meadows clemency. I don't know if that's true yet, but that's what they said.
Wow.
That's that, well, Rico.
Yeah. It'll come back to haunt you.
The dominoes
the
are
right
falling.
Very interesting. Well, we'll have to see what occurs after that. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick music break. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go back in time and play a classic, one I really love, because this is around the era of the, well, I wish I did have a, no, hold on, do I have that? I should have that. Give me a second here. That would be Isaac Hayes. Let me see if I have.
I'm going to say you're playing Shaft, Michael.
I was looking to see if I had it. You know, I could have sworn I had some I's and K's on here. I could have sworn I did. But unfortunately, I don't. But so what I'm going to do, I'm gonna go back in time and everything. But next week, I'm going to make sure I have that theme song. I apologize, you guys, because I really was going to play a little bit of it. But let me go ahead and do this. You know, because it would have been nice, right? It would have been nice. So what I'm going to do is, and believe me, it's been really trying today, because once the system went down, all my lining or the lineups I had of the songs, the way I had the library set up, totally went back to a different setting. So now I have to go back and reset everything the way I had it. I had it done in a custom way for myself to find stuff. Now I just went back to, you know, a different way. All right, so with that being said, let me do this so we can keep the show going, give you guys a break, and come back. I'm going to play some Barry White. Why not? But this is what I want to play. You listen to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 7:10 p.m. Eastern Time. Today is October the 28th. Around the corner is Halloween. Do you celebrate Halloween, or do you celebrate Fall Festival? What is it? Or is it Fall, Autumn, whatever festival? What is it? And should we still be celebrating Halloween? We're going to get into that conversation when we come back. See you in a minute. Welcome back to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the APL, Atlanta, Georgia. That was Barry White with Satin Soul, one of my favorite instrumentals. I love that track. Welcome back, Janet Davis. You there? Okay, I think Janet probably has herself on mute. All right, so unfortunately, I did not have any Isaac Hayes on the board, and I'm kind of like shocked myself I didn't have some Isaac Hayes music on the board. But again, it might be here, and the whole system is set up differently, so I have to go back through it since we're back in. But hey, that's a classic, an awesome track from Barry White, the late, great Barry White. But what we want to talk about right now is the passing of a movie and television icon, Mr. Richard Roundtree. Wow, when I saw that, that just really surprised me. Friends of mine that are on social media share photos of them with Richard. Shaft. You know that Shaft is one bad mother. Shut your mouth. That's a classic line. You'll never forget. Things that he done in television, but he's basically known for the Shaft series. There has been, what, three movies of Shaft? Am I correct?
I think so.
Was it three of them? Mm-hmm. One also, of course, you had I believe, let me go ahead and pull up this information real quick. But I believe you had different individuals play his siblings in the movie, or I should say in the trilogy of movies, I believe it was, trilogy of Shaft movies, and he also appeared in them. You know, Richard Roundtree, when I was growing up and when I first saw Shaft, that was a superhero to me. Honestly, it really was. He was like a superhero. And that was during that era of the black exploit movies and whatever. So let me give you guys a little background about this gentleman. Richard Arnold Roundtree, born July 9, 1942, in October, passed away on the 24th of this year, 2023, was an American actor and model who was best known for his portrayal of private detective John Shaft in the 1971, as I said, black exploitation film Shaft, and four sequels. Oh, I didn't know there was four. I said three. Interesting. Shaft's Big Score in 1972, Shaft in Africa in 1973, its 2000 sequel, and its 2009 sequel as well. The infamous television series. Wow, I didn't know. Okay, I forgot about the television series. Okay, so my phone is starting to act up on me, guys, so bear with me. It keeps wanting to black out. You know, I'm trying to pull it up on my phone, so I might have to go to my laptop. Janet, see if you can pull that article up real quick, if you can, if mine keeps going out. Okay, he was also known for his features in several TV series, and I got to keep, oh my goodness, why is this happening? This is crazy. I'm sorry. I apologize, you guys. I'm having an issue with my phone wanting to blank out on me as I'm reading the articles or the stories here. So bear with me for a second here. I don't know why this is happening. Okay. Oh, of course, he played in Roots, TV show called Generations, and Desperate Housewives. He also appeared in. As I said, that already gave you the born and the date he passed away, which is recently the 24th. Education, New Rochelle High School, alma mater was Southern Illinois University. Actor and singer, years after 1963 to 2013. Notable work: John Shaft, Shaft's Big Score, Shaft and Africa, Shaft and Shaft, including television shows. The spouse's name is Mary Jane Grant. Didn't know that. Married in 1963, divorced in 1973. Karen M. Sirenia, 1980, divorced in 1998. Five children. His career is very, very interesting because, like I said, he's known for the Shaft movies, not for many other movies, but those are memorable, or that's a memorable character, I should say. I mean, Janet, what's your thoughts about Richard Roundtree and what he's left behind as far as the Shaft, again, four Shaft movies?
Well,
and if you recall, I think that if I'm not mistaken, it was reprised again by the one and only Mr. Samuel L. Jackson played Shaft, and I think LL Cool J also played in one of the episodes or one of the movies. Am I right? I know I'm right about the first one, but what do you think? Go ahead.
Well, I was a fan of Shaft because back then it wasn't too many black movies out, and then to see someone playing a leading role as a detective, I thought it was great, you know. So a lot, you know, it made a lot of money. A lot of people went to see it, you know. So he had a lot of support from the African black community, you know. I saw all the Shaft movies. Yeah. And like you said, Michael, he was like a superhero, you know, because he
exactly.
was cool.
Mm-hmm. He played a detective, you know, investigating stuff and this and the other during the era of black export movies. But again, I find it amazing that that's the first thing people are going to remember him for is Shaft. But he did play in a lot of other TV shows, guest starred on a lot of other shows. We may not have all seen them all, but you know, just his body of work is really interesting, though. But we'll really just remember the character Shaft. And when you can own that character, that's something. You know, and even though Samuel Jackson came in and played the role, you know, which further kept the character, and he came on and was playing the daddy and his son. Then they had the other one where it was all three of them. You know, I thought that was really great for them to be able to do it and make it successful. You know, it didn't bomb, you know, to have a Samuel Jackson play the son and you know, and then, correct me if I'm wrong, I have to take a look at it, but I believe LL Cool J, I believe there was one where there was three family members involved. I'm pretty sure of that, but I thought it was just great that they just took that character and that name and made it just continue over the years.
Yeah,
think about
he did a lot of things.
Time.
Yeah, they said in 1970, he starred in What Do You Say to a Naked Lady? Then in 71, he played Shaft, and then Embassy. Then in 72, Shaft Big Score. And then Charlie One Eye. And then in 1973, Shaft in Africa. 74, he played in Earthquake, Man Friday. And in 1975, Diamonds, Escape to Athena, and Portrait of a Hitman. In 1979, he games for Vultures and Day of the Assassin. You know, he did a lot of different things that he starred in. And, you know, he played a leading role, but he was active all the way up, it shows, up until 2022, he played Moving On.
Last year.
Mm-hmm.
Just last year. Wow. Just last year. And see, and that's the thing that's so amazing to me is that we're, you know, you forget about actors and singers, you know, because you haven't heard their work, you haven't seen their work and everything. But many of them out there still working. You just don't look for them, you know. And as Janet just said, he just did something in 2022. He was always working. Some do retire and don't do anything for many years, and then all of a sudden you hear the news they passed away. But this man continued to work. You know, I would not be surprised if he was maybe getting ready to work on another project before his passing just a few days back. So, you know, just take a look at the artwork that individuals have done, and to have a history like he has, or a resume like he has, but to be remembered for a character forever, that's going to be forever. You know, people won't remember him for all the other stuff that he just did recently and over the years. They'll always remember him being Shaq. Every time you look at his face, you're always going to say Shaq. Every time you hear the song, you're going to think of Richard Roundtree as Shaq. Am I right or wrong, Janet?
No, you're right.
I know I will. You know, everything was Shaq. Imagine back then, you know, if you look at movies now where they make a doll for every character, right? Imagine back then if they made dolls for all the movies that were made back then. How many of those dolls would have sold? How many of them probably would still be on the shelves? Because now I look at where there's dolls on the shelves now of an era, not necessarily a character in the Black community per se. Barbie's going to be around forever because she has been. They just released the movie Barbie, and it's making millions. But imagine the characters, you know, like, well, like this old Shaq. Let's say, you know, Coffee, you know, Velvet Jump, all those different characters you see of the money that could have been made off of dolls of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And look how they live on to this day. I know I'm just speaking, but it's just a fact. It's just the truth. They could be collectibles. Anything. Okay. So, now, the time is now 7:26 p.m. on the East Coast. Let's get into Halloween. Yes, you guys, it's that time of year where people go out. Well, I won't say people go out. I remember there was a time where kids would go out and do what they call trick-or-treating and go through the neighborhood and ring the doorbells and yell, trick-or-treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. You remember those days. Not like that anymore. Now Halloween has become a celebration, or I should say a holiday, that there's a lot of dispute about. Ghouls, vampires, you know, monster movies and characters. But you see, television shows you all kinds of monster movies all week long. And you know many of y'all be watching that shit. You all be watching it. Come on now. They show Chucky. They show The Exorcist and everything. Y'all can't wait to watch those old movies. But now I'm seeing where it's being changed. No more trick-or-treating pretty much in the neighborhoods. Your churches are sponsoring events at the church. Your community centers are sponsoring events. And now they're telling you what you can or cannot wear to the event. Okay. The organizers that do have the right to say what they want to do. But what has happened? How do we go from what we originally looked at? Because to me, it was like a costume party. Now, if you want to dress up like a vampire, it's all fantasy stuff, to be honest. It's all fantasy. All right. But does it really have a harm? Does it really hurt kids' mindset, you know? And at what point do you, you know, put a limitation. Okay, so there's a certain school district that said there will be no Halloween parties, no fall festival or autumn fest, whatever you want to call it, at the locations of the school whatsoever. So pretty much they're saying, not here. And then, in my experience, what I'm looking at is that me being a individual that works for a major company, a major retailer, which I am in charge of that particular area where you go shop for your costumes, kids now are buying, or the parents are buying, the superheroes. You know, they're buying Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're buying Spider-Man, they're buying Batman, they're buying, you know, all those type of characters. More so, and I get more stock than you know, ghouls and goblins, the girls, princesses, you know. Now, the witches are still popular, you know, but you're going to be a good witch, like in the Wizard of Oz, right? It's the teenagers and the adults that want to buy the blood and the masks and the costumes that are gory and everything. It's the teenagers and the adults who are doing that. You know, so, Janet, what's your thoughts on this whole thing with Halloween? And you guys who are listening online, feel free to hit the number one.
I don't believe
give
in
me
it.
Your answer.
The reason why I don't believe in it, when I was young, they started putting razor blades and they would inject apples and things with stuff that can harm
acid,
children.
Right,
and
acid,
then you tell,
yeah,
you tell your parents, tell you, don't touch anything until you get back home. And, you know, 90% of the time kids gonna eat something. And so we would rather do a fall fest and have a party at a house, or let them go to a church, or go to the areas that you know are safe, because there's too many crazies out there nowadays. You know, so I didn't really do it with my kids. And when they got old enough to be able to try to go out on their own, I still had restrictions on what they could do, because I didn't want them to get hurt.
Well, one thing my mom did not allow us to do, I'll tell you this, one thing my mom did not accept was when we would come home, because see, when I was growing up, we didn't have what kids have now. Now they got trick-or-treat pails and baskets and this, that, and you got to buy. We had what you call a pillowcase, okay? We walked around the neighborhood with our pillowcase.
We didn't have a pillowcase.
Yes, well, we did. We had a pillowcase. You
so
took
you
that pillowcase
to
off the pillow. Hold on. Let me finish with my story here. Come Halloween, you took that pillowcase off your pillow. You put on whatever you wanted to. I mean, even the Superman cape. It might be, you know, your towel, whatever. Put some little cheap makeup on, mama's makeup, whatever the case may be, and make up a character. Because back then when I was growing up, you didn't have superheroes like you have now. You really didn't. And you could not emulate them. So you just came up with a character. Some individuals would just put on mama's wig and whatever.
Do you remember the Long Ranger? Do you remember Superman?
Oh, come on, Janet. Come on, Janet. I never dressed up like the Lone Ranger, and I never dressed up like Tonto either. Never. And to be honest, the few times, well, okay. So some areas they might have. Some people might have. I'm just telling you my experience. I'm not trying to share everybody else's. My experience, you just made up a character in our household. You just came up with something. You had to use your imagination. I remember a neighbor of mine really fooled me one time. It was a guy that came over and he had on his sister's dress shoes and skirt. I'm like, what? And had on a wig. And I laughed my ass off. I said, I didn't even recognize that was him. But that's what they chose to wear. But when I was growing up, they came up with crazy characters. And it wasn't always a character. You know, you didn't have the you didn't have the mask like, like from what is Scream movies and stuff like that, and all these. You didn't have the Jason mask. That was way before those type of movies. You either put on some kind of makeup, you know, around your face or whatever. You put on a wig, or you know, you put on a cape. That's the best you could do. You know, well, you dress up like a clown. Some folks did. You know, their parents or their siblings might have been creative and knew how to make your face look that way. It was just so simple back then. But again, like I said, we had a pillowcase. And the thing is that when you went to a house and someone gave you anything, yes, at some point, oranges and apples were off limits. And never trust the cookie lady. You know, the lady who would bake cookies and wrap them up in foil or cellophane wrap and say, here you go. Mama didn't play that. You didn't eat nobody else's cooking that you didn't know, even if they lived in the neighborhood. You don't eat there every day, you ain't eating those cookies tonight. That went in the trash. And again, as you mentioned, it was dangerous because, yeah, there was people who were doing stupid shit like putting razor blades into, you know, in the fruit. And what kind of sick mind is that to try to harm a innocent child, you know, for no reason? I mean, what kind of fun or what kind of jollies do you get off on knowing that you possibly have sent some child to the hospital with serious injury to the inside of their mouth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that right now some people are questioning, should Halloween still be considered a major celebration among stores, offering the candies, offering the costumes and everything? Should it be something that should be invested into? This one individual felt like from this one school district, the reason why he did so and banned it is that because he felt like there was no inclusion because there were some kids who cannot afford or their families cannot afford the costumes or nor the candy to give out. What's your thoughts on that, though, for him to come with that decision? Or because he felt like there was not enough inclusion for everyone?
Well, I mean, I no one knows what the real reason was from behind him banning. You know, he might have been brought up.
That was one reason. But that was
in an area
reason.
Where they didn't celebrate Halloween. You know, I know my family, my children, they do fall fast, not trick or treat.
Mm. But like I said, that was one of But like I was just saying, that was one of his reasons. He said because he felt like it was not enough inclusion because it was pressure on families. Because people do spend a lot of money on all kinds of holidays. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I see folks who buy these inflatables. You know, some of them cost like over $100. One family was fortunate just the other day. As I said, I've run that department, and they wanted the displays, and my store manager was like, you know, Mike, let them have those. And some of them were like $80-something dollars and $100, and they got them for like $20 a piece. They bought like four or five of them. They mark
what
them down that
display?
Low. Huh?
What kind of display?
The inflatable ones. The inflatable ones. You know, the ones that got the little fan on them? You plug them in and they blow up, you know, just like you do every holiday. You got for Christmas. You got the Santa Claus and everything. These were for Halloween. And see, that's the thing is that when they're for Halloween, they want to get them out the way, like right now, as quickly as possible to make room for Christmas. But this family was fortunate. They bought like four of them. And some of these were like $80. And they got them for like, you know, $10 and $20. Because think about it. The store doesn't pay that amount of money for those things. They pay pennies on the dollar. The company don't pay that much. They pay pennies on the dollar, and they mark it up, and people buy it. And so they could mark it down to almost nothing, seeing that they buy it in bulk. But, again, I'm saying that where people want to keep these holidays alive, the traditional ways. But is it, I mean, is it okay to keep it the traditional way, or is it okay to change it up? You know, because it's not what it was, at least as far as I know when I was coming up as a kid.
I never thought of Halloween as a holiday. I never thought of it as being a holiday.
Okay. Well, yeah, Thanksgiving, Christmas are considered holidays because most stuff is shut down. New Year's is a holiday, but not everything shuts down. 4th of July is a holiday, but not everything shuts down. Basically, holidays is government shutdowns. It's not everyday store shut down. So what really is a holiday? It's just a celebration of what they claim it's supposed to be, but it's not a holiday for you because if you have to work, you have to work, right? If you're the person who has to go to work. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I see a hand raised. Let me go ahead and open up their mic. 216-456 have their hand raised. I'm going to go ahead and open up their microphone. Welcome to TMGS. Thank you for calling in. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, why, thank you. Six Eyes from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello.
Six. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
What's going on, brother? How you doing? Hello, Queen. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I am blessed. Highly favored.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Yes.
So what's your thoughts on this conversation about Halloween and celebrating it and how it's really transformed differently from at least when I was a child to what it is
well,
now?
So when I grew up with Halloween, I mean, it was just, you know, going around getting the candy. I mean, it wasn't all the things we have to watch out for now. Now you have to watch out for people spiking the candy with fentanyl, lacing it with fentanyl. They have even candies, the Smarties that we used to eat, they're being targeted, laced with fentanyl. The Skittles are being targeted, laced with fentanyl. So it takes the fun out of, you know, the innocence of the children, little ghosts and goblins. Or they know they want to eat candy. You know, they don't know anything about the sickos out there. Now, when you and I grew up, we were not allowed to accept any fruit, no fruit, and we had to have that candy inspected. But we couldn't take anything that wasn't wrapped. You know, no cookies, no baked goods, no apples. Definitely no apples.
Right.
And it just takes the fun away. Like I said, that's the only thing I had to worry about growing up. But now it's just much more serious. You have kids getting abducted. You got kids being lured in the house and promise of bigger portions of candy, bigger pieces of candy. It just takes away the fun, you know, of the holiday.
Yes.
Ma'am?
No, is it really a holiday, though?
Well, one causes that, you know. I mean, in the books, it's deemed a holiday. I just think it's something that's been put on the calendar, and it's nothing more to increase, you know, sales in stores, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People tie a date to it. Oh, we're going to call this holiday. We're going to call this Sweetie Day. We're going to call this Valentine's Day. Now, I tell you, I would like to be the one to have those patents for those particular days. I definitely would.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing more to increase sales, you know. So put a name on it, you know, costumes, you know. And it's just a big,
exactly.
Just a big, big to do, you know. And the costume stores benefit, and the stores benefit.
Well, the thing is that they, of course, and again, like you said, it's all about increasing sales. That's what they're in the business for. I mean, you can't fault them for trying to get your money. It's up to you to make
right. Nobody's
decision.
Putting a gun to your head telling you to spend your money.
Right.
I mean, it's
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Exactly. And that's what I try to tell folks. You know, when you complain about it, think about it. The fact that, hey, look, you don't have to go there. You don't
have to
purchase
good,
when
the
they tell you.
There, but all the store does is provide the goods. You have to make in your mind, you want to get up in your car. You have to make up in your mind, you want to open up your wallet. And you have to make up in your mind you want to spend the money. Nobody's forcing you to spend the money.
And what I found really interesting, like I've shared with many folks, the immediate day after, it doesn't matter if it's Thanksgiving, if it's Halloween, if it's Christmas, the following day, all that stuff is at a 75% mark gain.
Yeah, because they got to get rid
of it. On average.
Yeah.
So this is what, you know, every year there's going to be another Christmas. Every year there's going to be another Halloween, right? Every year.
Yeah.
So why not just go ahead and buy it? Okay.
So if it's
why not go ahead and buy
it? You'll have it for next year, yeah.
That's what I'm
saying. Now the candy's not going to keep. You know, that's why a Nestle Crunch that's a dollar is going to be a nickel the next day. Well, that's a little exaggeration, but they definitely dropped the price of that candy. They do. You know, and just like with Christmas. Now, the one thing I can never stand is last minute gifts. Those big tin cans of cookies. Now you know damn well that's a last minute gift. You know, they don't want to show up empty handed. Oh, got some cookies. Okay.
Like,
or either that
broken
that Whitney chocolate.
You cheap ass. You sent me these damn cookies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the response you're going to get. But you now you brought up a good point.
They come in your house, this is proud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they come
I can
in
tell
your
you
house,
this.
This
that,
got some cookies, baby. Thank you, Auntie.
Well, I can tell you this is that I spoke to a person that works for Hershey, and they let me know that a particular store, there's some stores that have already made over $400,000 and profits on candy alone, the first part of the year, $400,000 on candy alone.
Wow.
That's a lot of money. So that tells you a lot about people and what they like and what they spend their money on. And it's not even, Halloween hasn't even went by yet. So imagine the last minute shoppers. A bag of candy can range anywhere from $3 to $26, depending on the count. People don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain count in those bags, the variety bags. There's some that might have, you know, 25 pieces, 50 pieces, 150, or 250. They vary. But people get that panic mode.
Yeah, and you also know within that assortment, it's the Hershey's and, you know, the higher up candies. So they're going to get their profit too. That's what brings that cost up to the $26 each one of those Hershey's and you know Three Musketeers. They all getting a cut. You know.
Well, you have Hershey's. Well, Hershey's is a company, and then Mars is a company. Both of them have different brands that they have out there. There's other brands out there too, but those are your major ones. It's Hershey is top of the line, and then Mars is like I think in second place. But they make a variety of different candies, right? So, and a lot of folks get confused to think that one brand name is one company. Mm-mm. It's under the same umbrella. You're still paying the same people. You know, it makes no difference.
Yeah.
You know, and if you pay attention, you can see the difference how they, you know, trademark their stuff. To if you pay attention to know the difference of what you're buying. It's just like Pepsi is like Pepsi owns KFC, Pepsi owns Pizza Hut. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
They own all those. Okay,
that's
all.
You know what? Speaking of KFC, and I like KFC, but I don't know if the last time you all went to KFC, but have you gotten a pop from there?
No,
don't. Because when I tell you that's nothing but syrup, it's no carbonation in that pop. You're drinking caramel water without the fizz. It's terrible. It's like just imagine a water bottle. Just imagine four water bottles, the length of the four water bottles, and that's what they have the pop in now, the Pepsi. When you open that pop, when you shake that pop, you don't hear any carbonation. It's crazy.
Now that I didn't know.
Yeah, next time you could go to KFC tomorrow and ask them to let you see the pop. And then you get it. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's no carbonation in there, and it's goofy looking. It's like a big ass water bottle that you're drinking. It reminds you of a hot water bottle.
Ooh,
that's what it looks like.
I'm sorry, I had to put myself on mute for a moment.
Ma'am,
go ahead, Jen.
Did she say?
Oh no, I said. So where are you located? Are you here in Georgia or California?
Oh, I'm in Ohio.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Ma'am. Now I do have a group. If I may promote my Facebook group, it is the Six Eyes Radio Network. I'd love to have you join. So that's SIXEYES space radio, RADIO space network, NETWORK. It's a group. Join. Love to have you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check you out.
Thank you, little lady.
Okay. Yeah. You guys, check out Six Eyes Radio Network. I appreciate it. In fact, Six was kind enough to, reach out during our hiatus and everything. I appreciate that so much. But I say, you know what? This is what we do. We're going to continue doing what we do. And
yeah,
I'm thankful for.
Man, it was a setback, but you know, you always had a second home. So you know, welcome back. You know, you are technically 3 days, 4 days early. You know, so welcome back. You were missed, and welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure, you know, I just go ahead because, like I said earlier, you know, at the start of the show. Of course, with Law Talk, here comes these little glitches. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, what happened here? I'm like,
it's live radio. I wouldn't even give the hiccups no consideration. And I don't know if you've done so already, but we. Yeah, I don't know if you've done so already.
I told everybody I would be gone till November. I told everybody I would be gone till November, but I decided to pop up right at the end of October so we can get November on a good start because we do have some great guests coming up. I've already talked to them. Many have been on the show before, and they're going to come back and join us again, share what they're doing and the journeys that they've been on since we last talked. So I love that, and I truly appreciate them. And it's just good to be back on air, and I appreciate you calling in again. So, you guys, so here comes Halloween, and as we were speaking, here comes Thanksgiving, here comes Christmas. 2023 came and went real quick.
Yeah, and I can definitely
tell
you missed radio because you jumped me twice, so I can definitely tell you missed radio talking on air. But what I was going to say, if you haven't done so, we just want to send our condolences out to Richard Roundtree, who passed away at 81. So just want to send thoughts and prayers out to his family, friends, and fans at the time. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
You have been missing from radio because you jumped me twice. But I'm complete.
Well, I'll tell you this, Six. We just finished talking about him. We just shared.
Oh, really? Okay.
In fact, you came on just a few minutes late where we talked about his history and how, you know, the character Shaft is just something that you just will never forget. You just cannot. And look at how there was a prequel, Janet, four movies, Shaft in Africa, Shaft's Big Score. There was another one. There was a TV show, you know, and keep in mind there was Samuel Jackson who played the son. And correct if I'm wrong, though, didn't LL Cool J play in one of them? There was somebody else who played.
No, it wasn't LL. That was Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg did the remake of Shaft.
It was
Snoop Dogg.
I thought there was a new. It was Snoop who played in that one, too?
Yeah, you talked about that. That was supposed to be the remake of Shaft. And,
okay. Go ahead.
That movie didn't fare as well. I mean, nothing beat the original. You know, they tried it, but you know, Shaft. You know, that was a character that kind of like we arrived. You know, we arrived. I mean, we came from roots. You know, we came from all the bad. Now that was like a person to look up to, Shaft. You know, and it just went from there. Because before that, you know, Mario Van Peebles was making the black exploitation movies. You know, and bless you, Trumpet. And Shaft was like, we kind of arrived. We made it. You know, and that kind of set the tone. For the later movies to come after, but he was like the staple, Richard Roundtree.
That's right.
But if I look at it correctly, okay, Shaft came before there was. If I'm not wrong, Shaft came before Roots. Okay.
What I'm saying to you is, so I was out of line with the order. But I'm saying that was like something to celebrate, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
In
okay.
comparison to the Roots and, you know, all the, you know, slavery movies that came about.
Okay.
Shaft was one to be created, celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And it just went from there. You know, we can't forget about Pam Grier, you know, her with coffee and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, yeah.
Black Belt Jones, coffee,
yeah.
You had all the black exploit movies. I mean, and then you look at, here's the thing, and let me say this, and then you look down the years, or years down the road, here comes Pam Grier back in some Quentin Tarantino movies, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Here she comes back, you know, looking just as fine as ever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Only
got better.
She's still,
only
she's
gotten
still,
better.
She's still a brick house, you know, and still got her chops
Lord.
In acting. You know,
and that's not.
And then here comes, yeah. and here comes a lot of young folks who are finally being introduced to an individual who we've all known all our lives that we grew up with,
right.
and they're looking at her like she's new. But she's been in this for ages, you know.
Well, but you think about it, to them, to them, she is new.
Correct. That's what I'm saying, right.
So, she is new.
But
they're
why
new
not go,
but
why not go back and learn the history of something that you're considering new when it's not? It's a seasoned veteran actress. You
but
know
they're
what I'm
not going to.
A lot of folks look at it.
So here's the thing: if one goes to Burger King, they're not going to research the history of when the first Whopper was sold and the first year it came out. I mean, they're going to just go from the now. So they're living in the now of the celebrated artist. They're not looking to see the history of how they started.
I'm
you know,
sorry, but that's me. I'm just totally different because that's what I do. I have a curiosity
I mean,
of what I'm looking at. Right. I have a curiosity of the person that I'm looking at.
The average person don't do that. Not even with artists. You know, not even with artists, they don't do that. Now I do, you know,
mm-hmm.
but you
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of people don't. You know. It's all the individuals, you know, mindset.
Mhm.
You know?
Exactly. So we were talking about Halloween. We're talking about, and we spoke about, you know, again, granted, again, we have to say our condolences to the Roundtree family. Richard Roundtree will be remembered forever due to the character he portrayed as Shaft, and forever. As I said, now we're on the holiday thing, and again, I wanted to get be on air. Really before Halloween and everything, so we already talked about that. Coming up the next holiday is going to be Thanksgiving. Do you guys celebrate Thanksgiving more so than
any other
holiday?
So Hold on a minute.
Let me finish the question. Do you celebrate Thanksgiving more so than, let's say, Christmas? Because according to most, you know, researchers is that, of course, most people travel during the Thanksgiving holiday, go to see family, more so, and Christmas is considered more time with the immediate family at home. So do you guys do the same thing? Do you look at where Thanksgiving is the time that you try to travel and see other family members and spend time, almost like a family reunion type thing, come Thanksgiving time?
I'm going to let the Queen speak first, and then I'm going to go.
I normally, my family, my immediate family is all right here in Georgia except for my son in Carolina, and I have some in Boston. But we get together here as a family, and we celebrate Thanksgiving. We also do the same for Christmas. We do the same for Easter. It's not just Thanksgiving, and it's so. But we go all out on all those holidays. 4th of July, we make a spread up. We don't just, you know, do Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right, Six. Okay, Six, are you there? I don't know if his call dropped. It might have. He might call back in. And I asked the question because, I mean, a lot of folks say that, yeah, Thanksgiving is a time that it's more like a family reunion time. Because think of it, Thanksgiving, be thankful. And that is really what I was going to try to lead into. Of your immediate family, is it based on of what it was initially for, the pilgrims and the Indians and everything, which we already know that's not true. There's a lot of, you know, stories about that, but what makes Thanksgiving more special overall over Christmas? Again, most people travel to see their family during Thanksgiving time and then pretty much stay at home for Christmas time and spend time with the family and the kids. So
well, the meaning of Christmas is way different from Thanksgiving because we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of Jesus. Thanksgiving is not the same. Yeah, it's not the
I
same.
I understand that. I know that. I understand that. But the thing is that where I'm questioning what people look at and how do they look at it and how do they experience those holidays. You're saying a good point, Janet. You're right. They both have different meanings, but sometimes people get it crossed up. So I'm just asking, you know, how do you look at those holidays? Again, I say this year has flown by. We're in the holiday season. In a matter of just a couple of months, which will feel like just a couple of weeks, they'll be gone, and it will be 2024, right? And we start a whole new year again. So that was the question I had. And this is getting some responses. I thought Six was going to be able to pop back in before we get off air. We are 2 minutes over, so I went ahead and extended just for a few minutes. I think that's him calling back in. So once he hits the number one, I'll open up his mic and let him respond. And then I'll close out the show with some good music. And by the way, for you guys, if you don't know, if you live in the ATL in Atlanta, Georgia, the awesome Caramel Princess, the Superwoman, the one and only Karen White will be performing here live at City Winery on the 19th of November. Unfortunately, due to a little illness, she was scheduled about a month ago to do two shows, one night, one the next night, but she wasn't able to do those. But she's going to do two shows in one night on the 19th. So if you haven't got your tickets, get your tickets now. If you live in the ATL area, if you live in Birmingham, if you live in Florida, if you live in Carolina, you can make it down here to City Winery to see a one-night event at City Winery here in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's going to be November the 19th. First show starts at 6 p.m., so go ahead and try to get your tickets now. I think that is Six chiming back in. Open up the mic and...
It is I.
Yep, it's you.
Yes. So the Queen already spoke. So
yes.
If you actually do the research of Thanksgiving, every day for me is Thanksgiving. But in the terms of what I know Thanksgiving means, absolutely not. I celebrate the family, my friends, and that's about it. But if you do the research of Thanksgiving, there's no way you would look and associate Thanksgiving with the story. Absolutely not.
I just said that. I just said that the Pilgrims and the Indians, no, that's not a good story, in my opinion.
And I don't want to ruin it for any children listening, but as you get older and you start eating that turkey, you're going to look at it different.
I just watched a newscast like last week where a guy was on the turkey farm, and I'm looking at all these, you know, this, well, one channel showed all these black looking turkeys, right? The brown turkey is what they call them. They call them black. They call it the brown turkey, right? And then another newscast showed where they have the turkeys with all the white feathers. I'm like, well, damn. And there's a bunch of them. And they're like around this newscast like groupies at a concert. I'm like, little do they know, they're going to be slaughtered.
Yeah, you know? They don't know.
That's an interesting thought, too. That's an interesting thought, too.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
You know?
Right. Okay, I see someone has joined the chat room, Duck Northwest Media. Hello, Duck Northwest Media. Thank you for chiming in. You got a question or comment, go ahead and post it. All right, so Thanksgiving is coming up, and then comes Christmas, which is supposed to be the celebration of Christ, the birth of Christ. Correct? Remember, we're at the end of the year. We're supposed to get all these holidays at the end of the year. How did we manage to get all this stuff at the end of the year?
Well, again, if you do the I'm the wrong person to ask these questions because
I know the answers. To be honest, I'm trying to be funny. I know the answers.
Okay.
To be honest, you know I know it's all man-made. I know it. I'm just putting it out there. I'm trying to. You know how a fisherman throws out the bait. You know.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever been fishing?
Not successful. I'm not an angler.
Okay,
I'm definitely not an angler. I am a music producer and radio guy. That's it. I don't.
But you've been fishing.
Not
before, right.
I'm gonna say no because I've never caught a fish.
No. Oh, good point. Good point, Janet. You've been fishing.
Yes, I'm not a good angler.
Yeah.
No. I'm asking
actually.
Janet now. Janet, have you ever caught a fish?
I said yes.
Okay.
See?
You caught a fish. No, you haven't. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all may not find it funny, but it's a true fact. You think about it. My former father-in-law said, you've never caught a fish in your life. The thing is, the fish caught itself. It was dumb enough to bite the hook, but you've never caught a fish in your life. Now, it might sound crazy, but he does have a point. You put the bait out there. The fish was dumb enough to grab it. You didn't catch it. It caught itself. Long pause.
I'm getting ready to hang up.
You never caught a fish, damn it. You never caught that fish. That fish caught itself. That fish caught itself. He had a choice. Grab that hook or leave it alone. He saw his cousin get reeled in out the water. He should have got an idea or something ain't right, you know. So, but I found that interesting and I found that funny, but there is a truth to it. In a sense, it really is. Okay? You never put your hands in the water and grabbed the fish. You baited it, and the fish was dumb enough to take the bait. So, here comes Christmas. Let me get your idea on Christmas, Six. The money spent already in stores. I mean, in August, stores were already packing in the product. I mean, August. I saw Santa Claus with sandals and Bermuda shorts on the other day. Okay. Is it getting more and more? I mean, are we going to celebrate Christmas year-round? What is going on?
It's real goofy. So you think about it. So a fat, jolly old white man is got his fat ass on a sleigh. Excuse me, Janet. I'm just got his fat ass on the
sled. No, you're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. 8 reindeers and a toy for everybody in the world. Okay? Making record time, coming down a what if the people that don't have fireplaces? I mean, how, you know?
The apartment.
People, they don't have, then what are they going to do? Knock on each door. Who's going to let, I guess Santa has a pop to get into the apartment building.
Oh, wow.
You know, go knock on each door. He knows where every child stays on each floor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, buddy? What are you doing? Come here. Come say hello to the people. Come here. Hello to the people. Say hi.
Mm-hmm.
It's my cat here, Trumpet.
Oh, you animal.
Hold on a minute now. I mean, granted, we have to think about this. We believed it as children ourselves. Is it
we did.
Time
we
to
did.
Actually? But let me finish my question. Is it time to actually expose the fact that there's no such thing as Santa, that Santa is mom and daddy or whoever? Is it time to do that? Or should we allow the children that are not even born yet to believe, for the families who do celebrate it, to believe that there's such thing as a Santa Claus? Because realistically, there are some kids that know that ain't no way that big fat man is going to come down the chimney. Ain't no way he's going to fit through the window of the house. Because the window we got, hell, I can't even fit through. You know what I'm saying? Are we going to continue these fantasy stories, which are basically lies?
I'd say let them have their innocence. I mean, the world is crazy enough. If they got something they can believe in, let them hold on to their innocence as long as they can. Because once they get old, all they got to look forward to is bills. So I'd say let them hold on to that.
Okay. Janet, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree with Six Eyes. Let them hold on to their youth and their dreams, and you know, then
and
you get older, you do have bills.
Mm-hmm. And their fantasy.
Oh.
Okay, I got a caller coming in. 470-276 decided to join the conversation. I just extended the show just a little bit, and I'm glad for you guys to chime in. 470-276. No, they didn't want a new car. That's for damn sure. Not on this show.
I was gonna get for my network, but
if you have to give it away, go ahead.
No.
470-276. Your mic is open. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? 470. Hello.
That's Atlanta, isn't it?
470-276. Hello, I'm in there.
We're playing for a Tesla.
Okay.
Hello. Who's calling?
How you doing?
All right. How's it going?
I'm doing great, man. It's your greatness from our Block Party Friday Superstars. Just coming in, man. I just learned about the radio show. I just tuned in, listened to a lot of the questions that you was asking about Santa Claus and being in the family. And how it not being, the real deal. Of course, our black people look at it especially, man, because, you know, we believe in mom and dad with Santa Claus since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so okay. I respect the subject, so I really appreciate it, people saying stuff like that, because a lot of people don't focus on who the real reason for the season is. And I think it's God.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, so your graciousness, this is Michael Gay, right? You and I spoke this earlier this afternoon. I appreciate you chiming in, and that's one of my co-hosts, Janet Davis, also there's Six Eyes, who's the owner of the Six Eyes Radio Network. And what we're talking about is, we're talking about different holidays, and yes, we came across the thing about Christmas. You brought up a good point of where, you know, that mama and daddy were the real Santa Claus and everything, but they had said there were, if the kids are taught or told there's a Santa Claus, let them live that fantasy to a certain extent. Okay, that's what, that was said. Let them live a fantasy. Let them dream that there's such magical type things. I get that to a certain extent. But at what point, though, and I want to ask all of you,
At what point do you let your child know there is no such thing as a Santa Claus? But see, here's when I knew there was no such thing as Santa Claus, is when I stopped getting toys and shit. I started getting clothes. And those clothes were for me to take my ass to school in. You know, that's when I opened up the package. Oh, look, you got a pair of slacks. And my mom would break out with the, you know, with the pins and everything and start and say, put them on, and start getting ready to hem them right then and there. You know, I mean, that's when you knew there was no more fun things you were getting in those boxes. It was clothes and stuff like that. You follow me? It was things that you had to have moving forward growing up. So is that a hint? Or did you experience that, and did you realize that something is different? Or did you ever catch your dad bringing in the bicycle late that night, which I did, knowing that it didn't come off Santa's sleigh?
Right.
Yeah. And it would have been hard to bring a bike through the chimney, too. That's another thing.
Hello. Come on, man.
That's right. That's right.
So,
at some point, I mean, nobody got to own up to the fact.
Feel like too, I, you know, when my mom first set us down and let us know it wasn't no Santa Claus, I remember that old black Negro Christmas song. Santa Claus is a black man. Santa Claus is a black man. And when I used to hear that, I kept saying a black man, but I never seen him come through the chimney. And I always seen a white man with a big stomach. And how you gonna fit through the chimney? So I was sitting out thinking about stuff like that. So on, I went there, I just went to ask my mom, was Santa Claus real? And she told me it wasn't. She was Santa Claus. And I was a kid when I had him.
My sister.
So you had that curiousness, right? You were curious. You sat down and it crossed your mind, and you got curious, and you actually went and asked. So, okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
But that song, I like that song so much, man. That song, Santa Claus is a Black Man.
Okay.
I like that song. man, that song was so cool, bro. Man, I still think about that.
Now,
I love Christmas too, bro.
But nowadays, they will say, Santa Claus is a black woman. That's what they will say nowadays, based on black fathers nowadays. But anyway, let me move forward. I'm going to open up that can of worms. Janet, what about you? Janet, yeah. And I'm going to get back to I'm going to get back to six. Janet, what about you when it came to the time of knowing that there was no such thing as a real Santa Claus?
No, well, my mother just took me to the store with her while she shopped for everybody else, so I knew it was her. You know, She didn't let me see what I was getting, but I saw what everybody else was getting. You know.
Oh, so you put two and two together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
well,
she bought the gift.
Be a surprise. Mm-hmm.
So,
but you never did ask her, you never did talk to her about it or anything at some point? Where
no,
Mama,
I knew because I went to the store with her. So I didn't,
okay.
When I was a lot younger, I thought about Santa Claus, but after I was like 12 years old, no, didn't think about it anymore.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say something real quick, and I'm going to go ahead and throw it over there. In fact, I'm going to let Six go ahead and respond. Six Eyes, when did you realize there was no such thing as Santa Claus? And I hope no little kids are listening and realize that we're talking about this, but go ahead.
So it had to be around, between 11 and 12. They would kind of just, you know, go get the wrapping paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Now, if I got to get the wrapping paper out the trunk of the car, off the back seat, what's going on here?
Wait a minute. The wrapping paper was your giveaway?
Yeah. So, I grew up. I really had that innocence of belief.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so getting the wrapping paper, and we put the tree up. So we put the tree up. Like I said, we didn't have no fireplace. So my sister and I were 3 years apart. So she kind of let me know that this motherfucker, he doesn't exist. Excuse me, Janet. that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I kind of figured it out. But like I said, but growing up, up until that point, you know, they let me believe, you know, that Santa Claus exists. You know, when you would set the cookies out in the milk, you wake up, half the cookies are gone, half the milk is drunk. And I had that innocence of belief. But like I said, around 12, you know, go get the wrapping paper off the, you know, out the back of the car, you know, and there it was. But my sister, now, rest her soul, she said, look, she said, ain't no white man taking no credit for my hard-earned work and getting these presents. She said, damn it, I'm Santa Claus. And she let my nieces and nephews know I'm Santa Claus. No fat white man taking no credit for my hard work. So they knew right off that Santa Claus didn't exist. And now my oldest nephew, he's 30, 27, 22, 24, and 18. So
yeah, there
it is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Michael, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm complete.
No, I'm still here. I had myself on mute while I was listening. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah, I had myself on mute because I was laughing her ass off when he was telling that story. But because I know. Yeah, that's interesting. But I'm glad that we had this conversation about it. You guys shared your stories, you know, because you know, that's stuff that people are going to be sharing for years to come when you realize there's no such thing as Santa Claus. And as Six said, that at what point, you know, or at the point that his mama said, ain't no white man going to take credit for the hell I pay for. That was funny as hell. It's crazy. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, the time is now 8:21. I did add 30 minutes onto the show. We have about 9 minutes left. I'm not going to add any more time. In fact, I might just to go ahead and play a little bit of music, just get my music in order on the board. So we're not going to continue the conversations, but I'm going to probably play some music for a little bit. And but we're going to end the show at 8:30. But I want to say thanks to the people who called in. I've seen on the board here, they didn't hit the number one, but they listened in. They listened for a long time. There's one still here, 205-478. Thank you so much. You have my number. Give me a call after the show. And actually, they normally would call into the show, but I don't know why they haven't, or hit the number one and gave a comment, but that's cool. I'm thankful that we're back on air. All you guys, and thanks for the blessings and everything from the folks during our time down. As many of you probably already know, just an issue where I had to deal with a little fire thing. I won't say little, major fire thing. So I had to shut down for a little bit. But thanks to Janet Davis, my right hand here on the network, for being patient and working with me, and other individuals who have contributed to us being back on air. Who have been so supportive. I'm being honest. I'm so thankful. Earlier today, I tuned into a show, Real and Raw, and that was a topic of just being grateful, just saying to God, thank you, you know, for every day, for every trial and tribulation, for everything that you go through and get through it. You know, a lot of times we can deal with some things that come with us, and many people break. We see that on the news all the time. Many folks just crumble and can't handle it. And there are things that we go through in life, you know, that are just overwhelming. I know this because I've experienced it, but I've always believed in just, you know, just fight on, you know. Even if I even became a person on the street homeless, hell, the homeless folks have a will to live, you know. You got to look at that. You know, even the homeless have the will to live. That's amazing. So whatever you're going through, just fight through it, the best of your ability. You know, surround yourself with good people. That's the main thing. Not people who will take advantage of you, but good people that have your best interest
and they're going to be supportive of what you do and believe in you. And I'm thankful to have that in my corner, to be honest. I really am. So I'm very thankful. I'm very blessed to be back on air because I love, you know, this platform, and I love the people that I communicate with over the years because I'm just an everyday guy. I say that to everybody. I'm not a celebrity. Some folks, ooh, you got a radio show. You a celebrity. No, I'm just an everyday guy just doing what he loves to do. I don't make money off of this. I spend more than I make, you know. But I have a vision, and I'm going to follow my vision. And thanks to the individuals who support it, you know, I see it becoming a reality. And I'm not going to give up on the gift that God has given me. All right, and neither should any of us give up on the gifts that you're given and the things that you every day. You're doing grateful things. Many of you are doing great things every day, and you may not even realize it. You may not. I'm not saying you don't, but you may not. You might be touching someone's heart, you know, and touching someone's lives, you know, the moment you walk away and they remember what you did or what you said. Words and actions are very powerful. I'm learning that in my older age as I get older. So keep that in mind. Again, I want to thank my co-host, Janet Davis. Our other co-host, Mr. Time and Ship, was not able to make it tonight because he's in the middle of getting his act together for a show he's going to be doing in Boca Raton, Florida this weekend. And so the timing will be joining us next week. So I appreciate that. All the individuals who support us, I'm just so thankful for. And again, I want to thank Six, and I think I said enough. I think I have. Really,
no, we're left with 2 minutes. We're left with 2 minutes before the show ends.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Greatness. Thank you for calling in. Your first time tuning in. You and I are going to be talking soon, right?
Correct.
Greatness is he does a lot of social media broadcasting, and so mm-hmm. thanks to a friend of mine that I grew up with in California, introduced me to him. So he's first time tuning in, and he does video social media broadcasting. We'll be talking with him soon, because we will be doing some live broadcasting. He is based here in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. So, Janet, keep that in mind. And, yeah, we're going to be doing some live streaming the first part of the year, if not beforehand. You know me. I'm just, you know, when it happens, it happens. When the timing's right, the timing's right, and we're going to move forward. Okay. Greatness, share your information for everybody that's listening, how they can contact you if they need your services.
Yes, sir. If anybody wanted to, you know, hear what I got going on and the great things that we're doing over here at Block Party Friday, you can download any social media platform we on and Block Party Friday Superstars. All you got to do is type that in, and we will pop up. And I have my own, you know, personal social media platform, which is I go by my stage name, YR Greatness. And you can look that up on TikTok. You can look that up on Facebook. You can look it up. I'm a little bit everywhere. So we on, but you can go to our YouTube on the Block Party Friday Superstars and hear us on there. And we starting a social media podcast on TikTok on the Block Party Friday Superstars. So you'll be able to reach us there. You got to do is Google me. I'll pop up everywhere. Thank you.
All right, appreciate that. Six Eyes, go ahead and share your information, too.
All right. To follow the coolest guy on the planet, you go to my group page, which is the Six Eyes Radio Network group, just like it sounds, SIXEYES, space radio, RADIO, space network, NETWORK, and join a great group. All right. And you can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/what? SIXEYES. And I'm right there. And also on all major platforms, iHeartRadio, Apple Music. You type it in, I'm there. And I'm complete. Six Eyes Radio Network. Thank you.
All right. Janet Davis, your final words before we get out of here. We got 2 minutes left.
I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed Six Eyes and the other, I forgot his name. But I enjoyed the show, Michael. And I'll be talking to you in a few minutes.
Thank you, little lady.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you guys,
you
1 minute left. I want to say thanks again for you guys tuning in for the return of the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, here on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. We'll be back next Saturday, as usual. And got some great guests coming up. Got some great stuff coming up. So you guys stay tuned. Hey, enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. We'll see you next week here on the TMGS. God bless. Good night. Peace.